Thanks very much for listening today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to get in touch, you'll find us on Instagram at SoccerSnob1, on Twitter at SoccerSnobs1, by searching for us on Facebook, and of course on the web at www.soccersnobs.ca/listen. You can leave us your opinion, give us any comments, and if that's where you want to get nasty, feel free to do so.
Robin Singh, who's an Indian professional soccer player who's played at the highest level in India for over 10 years, been capped 30 times for the Indian national team. Welcome to the Soccer Snob Show, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Now, the first question I'm going to ask is one from my kids, actually. My kids are 9 and 10. Wow. They saw on an interview you've done that you love PlayStation. Is that correct? Oh, there it is in the background. I love it. What's your go-to PlayStation game?
For me, I think I'm a massive Call of Duty fan. Massive Call of Duty fan. And I think till about an hour back, I was just going through it again because, you know, it just calms me down. As funny as it sounds, you killing people, getting them shot in the head. It's a very calming feeling. Let me just put it that way. So yeah, I think for me, it's Call of Duty for sure. Apart from that, anything with a story, first person shooting, no zombies, no Star Trek, because I see the poster right behind you, so no Star Trek either. I think anything without aliens and zombies, I'm good to go.
Yeah, no FIFA or Championship Manager or anything, no?
Not at all. Believe me, I'll lose my life if I bet it. If you bet me, you like, let's save your life or play FIFA, I'd be like, shoot me in the middle of my head. Right, yeah. Can't save my life. I'm bad.
Yeah. That's hilarious. So we'll start. Wait,
hold on, Mark. Hold on. I got a question before we dive into any soccer stuff. First of all, Call of Duty, my son's going to listen to it. We've been holding off buying it for him. You just ruined that for him. I'm going to have to buy it because he's going to say you were on the show. The second thing that you've ruined my life in is I saw – when I was just doing a little bit more research on you to see what else I could dig up, I saw a whole thing on your wedding. That it was the most incredible wedding I've ever seen. And I'm keeping my wife away because we're going to have to get remarried and do like 3/4 of the things you did. That was incredible, your wedding, man.
Listen, it was, if you, thank you first and foremost, because me and my wife, we did everything from like tasting things, finding locations, guest list. So we did all of that, but yes, it was one of my prettiest, most beautiful things I've been to, especially with my wedding. So can't say anything bad there, but it wasn't India-like. You know what everybody has, or, you know, there was 25,000 people. Yeah. We were about, I would say, less than 100 people. Okay. We literally spoke and met everybody at our wedding.
Awesome.
We made sure, like, you know, there was everything and anything that a person wanted. All I had to do is, listen, if I'm important to you, fly down to Goa, that's where I live, and I'll absolutely shower with you with the best facilities I can. And that's all we did. You know, we just wanted friends and family that was close. We had a special event. I was getting married in another banquet area, and right outside my wedding, there was a reggae party going on. And I love hip hop, I love reggae, I love Afro music. Yeah. My God, I think it just took it up another notch.
That's awesome.
So if your wife's listening, come to Goa. I'll set it up again for you.
That's amazing.
There you go, Steve. Yeah. We got another wedding to attend. All right. So speaking of Goa and India, Okay, so I'm just going to start right from when you were a tiny little kid. What's it like growing up in India, aspiring to be a soccer player, considering cricket, right, is the national sport there? Like, is there kids playing in the street soccer, or are you kind of on your own? Like, how's that with the youth?
So over the years, it's definitely changed. Where I come from a northern or central part of India, which is New Delhi. And that's more business centric, or, you know, if there's a sport, it's cricket, because that's India for you. I myself grew up playing cricket for up to, I think, a national level and school level. And then on a rainy day, when I say rainy, I mean like in a monsoon time in Delhi, I randomly went to play football with my friends, and the coach over there turned around and said, would you like to turn around and come and play for us in a school tournament? To which I was like, what the hell? Let's go enjoy this. It was something that I loved doing. Yeah, I was never in class. I was either stinging or kicking a ball or pitching a ball or throwing a ball or in athletics. So I was a very energetic child, I might say. So yeah, so they say, you know, there's another reason for you to get out of your house. I was like, yes, please, I'm in. So we ended up, you know, I ended up playing football that very, probably in a month or a week's time, I left to play a tournament for the coach. And then I had a choice to make, whether would I like to play football or would I like to continue playing cricket? I didn't have to make a choice. It was like football straight away. The happiness, or, you know, the adrenaline rush that football gives me or soccer gives me, I can watch cricket. But if you ask me to take it up as a profession, I don't think so. I love football too much. I am what I am because of what football's given me.
That's awesome.
It was an easy decision. I love it.
I have a feeling that lots of similarities between the countries. Like, there are obviously lots of differences, but like, hockey is such a dominant sport for us in Canada. It's probably like cricket, you know, and football and soccer you don't see it in the streets here in Canada. You see road hockey all over the place. So you've got that one dominant sport with another one that's generally the most dominant in the world competing for attention. So it's interesting parallel.
We grew up the same way. We grew up the same way. Like, if I stepped out of my house in Delhi, I'd have people playing cricket. But I used to go play 5v5s or 7v7s, which is 2.5 hours away from my house. And I used to drive all that way, or, you know, hitch rides with my friends all that way to play for 20 minutes. Because for me, I was always wanting to play football. And there's obviously, because it's a business city, there's not much sport around. You got to find space. And now that I look back at Delhi, there's loads of things coming up. So I'm happy that the scenario is changing. But obviously, as hockey is for you guys, cricket is for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned playing with your school team there. I'm going to stick with the youth for a second, because here in Canada, it's like, as soon as you're 4 years old, you're now registered to a soccer team. You play with this soccer team. It's like, now you're coach. What's the youth system like in India? Do you play like organized soccer at a certain age, or is it just kind of school teams here, this? Like, how does that work?
So now the schools are beginning to take up football seriously, to be honest. But a lot of schools before, you know, if I go back to my youth, I can probably imagine from Delhi, there was like two teams with a school football team. The rest was just like, you can go play at PE, but that's it. You're not going to have a football team that is going to compete with school A or school B. It's just about, you know, this is recess or this is PE, go kick the ball around for an hour or two. And now I think it's slowly changing. And with the Indian Super League coming in as well, they've set up grassroots programs, and they've set up baby leagues as such as well. Where now you have a process. Now you have registered young children or young talent that can either be picked up by teams or local communities can keep training them. So it's a process, but I'm sure we can see a lot of Indian boys coming up now. Because even now, when I look at the boys younger than me, you know, there are a bunch of confident boys who are, you know, confident about their abilities.
Nice.
And that's great to see that, you know, when you turn around and say, listen, why are you playing football? And the first thing they say is, I love the sport. Awesome. Yeah, and that shows their confident enough to say, you know what, I love this sport. I will take it up as a profession if the time comes.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to fast forward many years here and ask you about your first call up for the Indian national team. Mm-hmm. You came on as a sub in front of your home crowd. Was it in, it was in Delhi, correct? Your first game?
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, walk us through that. So the coach says to you, you know, get up, you're going in. I mean, question A, how did you feel? Question B, is the stadium packed in India for national team games? Was it full? What's the crowds like over there?
So when I came on, when the national team was playing at that point of time, you're looking at probably 5,000, 10,000, because the capacity of the Delhi Stadium, if I'm not wrong, is 90,000. And okay. I've been honored enough to play in front of 90,000. You can't hear nothing. Believe me, you can't hear nothing.
90? Like 90?
90.
Oh,
wow.
Jesus.
It's, while I'm talking to you, I'm going to try finding a picture for you what 90,000 was like.
Crazy.
But yeah, I think there was still love. The thing with Delhi is they don't have a team or a home team to support.
Yeah.
But when it comes to national football, Delhi does show up.
Hmm.
And I think that's what they did. I think they showed up. It was rainy. I still remember it was rainy. Coach said, you know, just get in there, do what you can. I ran. All I did, I ran and I bullied people. That's all I did. I just kept running, kept bullying people. And we went down to penalties, if I'm not wrong. And coach said, who wants to take a penalty? She said, me.
Yes.
Like, all right, go for it then. Still remember hitting it top left corner, one of my favorite penalties.
Yeah.
Top left?
Yeah.
Do you always go top left? Or was that just a random?
I'll reveal my secret. I don't know which goalkeeper is listening.
That's a great answer, Mark. They write the notes down, man.
Smash it in. Let me just keep it there.
Don't worry if De Gea is listening, because he won't save it anyway.
The other way anyway. Yeah.
Save it anyways. I don't think he can. Yes. Don't know if he can.
Yeah. So how special was it being in your own city? And I mean, was your family there? Did you have a ton of family watching? How was that?
So my parents living in Delhi were there, obviously. Before I jump into them, my father's father was also a footballer. He played football. He organized, I think, one of the oldest cups called the Durand Cup, which is in India, till he passed away. That's a cup I won as well. So it's close to me. It also gets awesome. Opened in Delhi. So I've been lucky enough to play and win that cup. So it's... Yeah. Family Cup now.
Cool.
And my mom, she comes from a place called Kolkata,
mm-hmm.
where Humi's played as well, ATK.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes from there. And, you know, over there, I think you can definitely say if you give a child a choice between cricket and football, they definitely choose football.
Hmm.
It's undoubtedly, you know, the mecca of Indian football. You've got great talents coming out of the city as well. And every nook and corner, every street that you can see there, you'll see two goal posts. Every street light that you can see, you'll see posts at the end of each light. So that, you know, just to kick a ball around. So that's where my mom and dad come from. And they finally settled in Delhi. And, they try and being there for as many games as they can. Recently, my father fell ill. So now they travel less. And obviously, because of the COVID, still it's mad in India. So,
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't travel anymore, but now they just, you know, networking phones have made it easier for me to keep in touch with them, with them over video. But he tries telling me that, you know, that the big game's coming up on TV. Are you watching? So we have a weekly discussion as well on what's going on, what's happened.
Nice.
So they were there. I know my mom and dad were there for sure. I think That was one of the few times they also felt that, you know what, this boy has courage to do a lot more than you can think of.
That's
great. You know, I think it's always been like that. I've always loved expressing emotion. I've always loved playing for the people that believe in me and have my back. And it's always been the same. And I think that now moves forward to my wife and her family supporting me in what I do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's amazing. So I want to talk to you a bit about like travel with the Indian national team, because you look at the Germanys and the, you know, the Frances and Englands. I mean, they're in, you know, 10-star hotels. They take private flights everywhere. They've got everything. Now, is it the same with the Indian FA? Do they take care of the team? Are you guys really taken care of?
Yes, I think when you get into the system of Indian football, you have your set of doctors, you have your set of coaches. Obviously, since I've been with the national team, coaches have come and gone. Everybody brings in their own set of ideas, own set of tactics. But from a standard perspective, you know, there's no set standard, if I may say. You know, it's always a step to grow. Yeah. There's always somebody better than you, and you always got to chase that person. And I think that's where Indian football stands as well. We always want to be better. We always want to chase the team above us in ranking or in competition. So I think for us as Indians, we're always going to grow.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to play for the nation, how many ever times it may be. Will I want to play again? Yes, till my legs last, I will want to play for the national team. I want to keep making sure that I bully everybody that I come up against, for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, I love that.
I want to jump in, Mark. I got a question. I mean, we were talking about you, Robin, but I think he played a part in your career, and you had messaged me. We had a very quick chat, but I've been, I don't know, lately, especially Stephen Constantine, who's come in and he had two spells at the national team. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, and he was the first one to pick you, or at least he picked you quite regularly. So I would assume you guys had a relationship. Like, how was he? Talk to me a little bit about him, because his story is absolutely fascinating when you look at it as well.
Yes, I think when he came in, I got my regular opportunity, as you said. I think he was the one that when I walked in, he said, listen, I know you're not going to get me enough set of goals, but I know you play for the country, you play for everybody around you, you fight for everybody around you. I said, exactly what? For me, it matters that there's 1-0 on the screen for India rather than 1-0 Robin Singh, you know, 5-0 Robin Singh with 5 goals. For me, it's about making sure that the guy next to me knows that I will lay my life down for him. And you know, people watching at home should know as well that I will lay my life down for the country. And that's always been the case, you know, put my leg to places that's not supposed to be, put my head into places where it's not supposed to be. I really don't care. And I think Stephen Constantine saw that, you know, and I really appreciated that. And I made sure that I never let him down. And if he's going to hear this at some point of time, you know, thank you for the opportunity that you gave me. If you ever need me again, I'll be ready.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. So we're going to stay on the national team for a quick second. I want to talk about the future of the national team. You're 105th in the world right now. Right now, the World Cup qualifiers haven't started very well. 5 games, no wins. Is there something that could excite you and the Indian supporters about the future of the national team? Is there a young player or two or three that we could know about, or are they unlucky in this qualifying group so far? Like, what's happening right now with the national team and the future?
I think firstly with the national team, when a new coach comes in, and I said this about Stephen Constantine as well, every coach comes in with a new set of ideas and tactics, and transition takes time. You know, nothing gets built in a day or overnight. You got to keep at it. But not just me. Me from an outsider's perspective, but the boys that are in the camp right now will tell you that they're enjoying the process. They're enjoying what Igor Stimac brings in. And I did meet him, by the way. I met Igor Stimac and I met his team while they were training in Goa before COVID came into the middle of all of us. And I saw them play. You know, for me, it just gave me more hunger to make sure that I work hard, be it at club level or, you know, be it with the ideas that the coach wants, or for me to show him that this is what I can bring to the table. And when Igor Stimac turned around and said, listen, we need to be physical, we need a big number 9, it's just that slight ray of hope, as you said, you know, that's what excites me right now, that he wants the physicality to the game. And I for sure, you know, I hope I can fit into his ideas over the coming years, because as I mentioned, I want to play for the country again. For sure. But from a youngster's perspective, there are loads of boys. You know, there's there's, for now, even Manvir. Manvir just finished a great season at ATK, and for me, he's a striker. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's my competition. And yeah. I love competing for my spot. I love the fact that there's someone else fighting for that jersey. So I'm sure, you know, he's going to work hard. He's going to bring boys in as well. And then, you know, that's the beauty of Indian football. We're growing every day. The youngsters that are coming in are being confident with their abilities. And boys like me just got to work harder to get back in, I guess.
Yeah. So no players from the current Indian national team play outside of India. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to, like, I think Steve and I were talking off air, like, there may be a reason why. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like FIFA lets players all over the world with grandparents and parents from other countries kind of play. Now, mm-hmm. is there something, I think there is in India, yeah. where you have to live in India, apply for your passport, and yeah. denounce your old passport, yes. correct?
Yeah. So okay. if I can make it easier for you, unless you have an Indian passport, you can't play for the Indian national team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can't have an Indian passport if you live somewhere else?
No, India does not give you dual citizenship. You got to be a single holder passport.
Okay.
To play for the national team. Obviously, you can have your PIO cards, which is person of Indian origin, and NRI cards, which is non-residing Indian. But I think to play for the national team, you've got to have your passport from India. That means okay. a lot of boys or women even have to give up their passports to play for the Indian national team, be it men okay. or women. And I think when they look at where they are, they also feel that, you know what, I want, if I've reached at point A, not holding the Indian passport, let me try to play for the country I am already at. And I think that's also where, if you look at boys who've not played from India outside as well, that's also something that they always want to do. They know that they're just about breaking into the team, or they're just about getting a regular start for their clubs. Then they're like, you know what, let me just continue here. Sometimes that decision does pay off. Sometimes that decision doesn't pay off.
Yeah. Well, I know Igor Stimach, the manager's called for relaxation of those rules. What do you think about that? Do you think they should be, you know, relaxing on that? Or do you feel almost like a patriotic thing? Like I can see both ways where how people can think and appreciate both ways.
I think for me, I love competition. You know, if you want to yep. play for the nation, let's make India proud together. But then there are also FIFA rules that if you choose one country, you've got to stick to it.
Yeah.
But if a lot of people question our patriotism, saying, why does somebody come from outside? But it goes the same for the people living outside. How patriotic are you towards our country? Mm-hmm. You know, it's always us being questioned. Maybe this question can be asked to the people who are the boys and the girls outside as well, that do you want to go play for India? That's you know, right. it's easy to say yes when you're not allowed.
It's easy to say,
I'll jump off a plane without the parachute. Go jump. You know, it's just one of those things. You, when the choice comes and you take it, that's where it stands. For me, I love football. I love playing for my country. When my country wants me, I'll go play. If a club wants me, I will go play. Everything else for me is secondary. I love playing for the teams I go to. I love being surrounded by men who have the same minded attitude towards winning games, who have the same work ethic, which is working every day, making sure, like, you know, you hold someone by the collar if they're not putting in the work. You know, I've been brought up that way, and I think that's the only way I know. You know, if you don't put in the work, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I gotta ask, like, in a. I know we've just kind of got, I don't want to beat this to death. So I get the Indian passports. If you have an Indian passport, you're an Indian player like yourself, can you go to MLS or Bundesliga and play for the national team still? Or you have to reside in India?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think as long as you hold an Indian passport, you're eligible to play for the country. But I think whereas the big European leagues are concerned, you've got to be above 80 in world rankings. And I think that's a FIFA law.
Yes. Okay. So that's part of why maybe some players don't go overseas or whatnot as much.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering.
it's a process. I think even when you play in Eastern Europe, yep. you're taken as a local player only after 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And once you're taken as a local player after 3 seasons, that's when maybe you can go play in the Bundesliga. But then that means you got to break into Eastern Europe at 15.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if I'm not wrong, Foden and Mount are 21.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong. And I know Phil Foden was here at the under 17 World Cup as well in India.
So
you got to be playing consistent national level or top level football, be it in Europe, be it in India, at 15, 16, 17. And the people living outside or the boys and girls living outside, I think that's what bothers them, that what if we go back to India and we want to come here?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to ask Mark, like, because Sunil Chetri, I hope I pronounced him correctly, he was at Sporting Kansas City. And I think maybe it was in England. He's someone I'm surprised didn't latch on somewhere. I think I've watched at least enough of him to say, like, that surprised me. And I thought, I don't know if his experience turned others off or whatnot. Like, I would have expected a few more, you know, around the world he's at a great level, that guy.
Yeah, to be honest, I think Sunil left the country at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to come back into the country at the right time as well. And I think before him, it was Baichung Bhutia who went and a few others.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think after that, there were a few countries that decided, you know what? India is someone that we can look into, or India is someone that we can look at.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are boys who want to leave, but then there are clubs in India who offer them contracts at maybe 3-4 years. So that's being secure for 3-4 years rather than going outside and fighting for a year. And sometimes I think that's where the risk needs to be taken and saying, listen, I'm 17, I'm 15, I have my whole life in front of me.
Yeah.
Let me take this risk and not be... Yeah. You know, in India, hopefully not sitting on the bench and getting 10 minutes.
You win
some, you lose some. If you think you're going to be sitting on the bench outside, at least you're going to be getting, you know, with all due respect, better facilities, better training, better intellectual values from coaches, players, everything and anything. You know, yes, we are still a growing nation. Yes, we can compete. But, you know, let's be honest, there are teams better and there are countries better than us outside.
Yeah.
Learn from that and bring that in. I do the same thing. I train everywhere I can. And I make sure that whatever I learn, whoever I meet, I bring it to India. Because I made that choice of keeping the passport, wanting to make sure that I play for the Indian national team.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love going outside and making sure people know I am Indian.
Yeah.
This 6'1" boy is Indian. This man is Indian.
Yeah.
He will beat you up if you mess with him.
That's brilliant.
So you've played with many Indian Super League teams. I'm looking at the list, and which one left that special experience for you, like within the supporters or the coaches? Like, which team do you feel closest with? And
tough question.
I think I had my most favorite memories at Delhi Dynamos, for sure. I think me being a Madrid fan, having Roberto Carlos next to you, you know, entering the changing room or getting on the team bus, you've got Malouda next to you, you've got Risa next to you, you got Carlos next to you saying, you know, good morning and fist pumping you, and you're just like, where am I? And being from Delhi, I always wanted to make sure that, you know, I represent the state or the city. And I think that was great. It gave me loads of memories as well, because I remember coming up against Lucio, who later on became my teammate as well.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, who in turn took me to meet Adriano.
Jeez.
No way.
I got goosebumps. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Adriano, the emperor. It's at his house.
Wow. No way.
It's he and he looked at me and said, "You're just like me."
No way.
And they were both speaking Portuguese, and he's like, "No, no way, he's Indian. He's as big as me." I'm like, "Damn."
Wow.
Wow. I need to know, what did you do at his house?
Yeah.
Just sat there, just spoke about where all he's been. I was exactly like this. I was speechless.
Yeah.
I was exactly like this. I was like, where am I? Listen, I don't know what's happening. Lucy, where have you bought me? And he's like, no, my friend, don't worry. Just come sit, get dinner. I'm just like, no, yeah. I'm not done.
Yeah.
I'm not done. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
There's so many stories I hear about this guy. He's not just a footballer and the best, also a gangster. Like, where am I?
Yeah.
It was quite interesting. It was really nice. And then Lucio as well, when I came up against him for FC Goa versus Delhi Dynamos and I scored a goal, he said, try doing that again. I jumped up again. He smashed me so hard.
Oh, yeah?
He did. I think he didn't mean it because I said, okay, next ball. I literally said next ball. And as soon as the ball came to me, he just went for my calves straight.
Oh, wow.
I think that was the start of a great friendship. And there's so many memories that came out of Delhi Dynamos.
Nice.
Yeah, these boys are people that, you know, I still have the pleasure to speak to.
Yeah.
You know, even just a hello is such a fulfilling feeling that, you know what, these are your acquaintances. These are your ex-teammates. These are people that people look up to, you know.
Yeah.
These are people that I looked up to.
Here's a question to put you on the spot then. I'm not going to let you wriggle out of it. Give me a five-a-side team you've played with then. I'm going to assume Roberto Carlos makes it.
Roberto Carlos, Maluda. Hume, definitely.
Really? Oh, you just made it. You're going to make his head so big hearing this now.
Nah, I can't get any bigger. He'll just be cold after that.
That's three.
He just bought me on that. On that Zoom call, he would have been in trouble. I have some funny pictures of him.
that's three, Robin. You got to give me two more.
I'm going to say Robin Singh. Robin Singh's in that team.
Yeah, definitely. I want to score with these boys giving me the ball and me giving them the ball. You know, it has to be. So that's four of us.
That's four.
Right. Let's put Re-sign there.
Oh,
really? Wow. That's a pretty strong fight aside. That'd be so fun to watch.
Yeah.
We call it Left Footers FC.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say, like, that's an attacking, like, left-footed five-a-side team. That's going to be 9-7 games in that team.
Yeah. We don't need no goalkeepers. You give us the ball, we're just going to shoot at it. Try stopping any one of us.
Yeah. Can you confirm or deny this? Kerala Blasters are the best fans in India.
I can confirm that.
Wow.
When I say the best fans, I mean like no matter where you are at, they will support you. I know the Kerala Blasters fan base all the way to the Qatar. At Qatar, at Doha, at Dubai, obviously Kerala as well. I'm sure Yumi spoken highly of the crowd as well. Like we as teams, you gotta arrive hour and a half early. And hour and a half early, you're stepping out to warm up. It's packed.
Huh, wow.
And I know I've been there. So yes, East Bengal, Mohun Bagan, I've been at 90,000. And I think with Kerala Blasters, I have been at 90,000 or at least 85,000 people. Jeez. Minimum.
That's
and incredible. It's loud. So Calcutta Salt Lake Stadium is like round and large. Kerala Blasters is just like it's like a dome. So it just everything just comes down
on
you. It's loud.
Wow.
It's so much fun to play there, though. They support you. They support you. You know, yes, Kerala Blasters have not had their fair share of luck with winning games and all of that, but you never see anything coming else from you know, their fans and saying, what's happening? What's happening? They're always like, next time, next time. And we know for a fact, fans do get pissed off.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a certain section of people at Kerala Blasters who do get annoyed that why isn't my team winning anymore, but that's all right. The positivity or the fan base of just the love of football overpowers them and says, you know what? Yes, we agree they're not doing well, but next time it is.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I love that. That's a bucket list for me. I now that we've spoken to you and Hume about that, I need to go to a game at some point in my life in Kerala. I have to.
Make sure there is no COVID restrictions. If it gets full, you will enjoy yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And also make sure you're 3 hours there earlier, because otherwise you're not getting space.
That's incredible.
I love that.
And this is 85,000 inside, by the way. There are people outside as well on the road saying, no problem. We'll support the people and then go figure it out outside. Jeez. I'm trying to find pictures for you, okay?
Yeah.
Don't know what this is.
So speaking of your career here, I want to ask, I know we've mentioned it about, you know, your Indian passport and you're very proud and everything, but we have a league now in Canada, the Canadian Premier League. I don't know if Hume has mentioned it to you or I'm just now representing Canada as a whole country, but have you ever thought of coming and playing here in Canada?
A, I spoke to Hume. B, I have family in Canada. Oh. My son Memphis already has a Toronto FC jersey.
Oh wow!
I'm manifesting the whole thing. Whereas I'd love to play. I did ask before the lockdown happened, and I think Canada closed their doors for international travel last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But it is something that I can look forward to, because I am Catholic, but I'm also Punjabi because my dad's Punjabi.
Yeah,
and I know there's a Punjabi community out there as well.
Yeah.
So yes, for me, if I get the opportunity to come and train in Canada and then let them decide, you know, I'm not saying this is me. I've played football for 10, 13 years. I want to come in. I'll give you X, Y, Z. Say no. Let me come train with you guys.
Yeah.
See if I fit into your scheme of things. And if you think I can, why not? I'd love to come. I'd love to play in Canada. That could definitely be an idea.
So Steve, what I'm saying is, mark down the time of this clip and we're going to tag every CPL coach that we've interviewed.
Yeah.
And our mission is to bring Robin Singh to Canada.
Listen, if I do come to Canada and play in the CPL, whatever celebration you guys give me for my first goal, I will make sure I do it.
Oh, that's it's incredible.
So on now. That's it. My entire mission.
Now I've got goosebumps thinking of this.
I'll make sure. You believe me, I'll make sure I do it. There is, you know, a part of me that wants to make sure that I make myself proud of my achievements.
For sure.
And then if on the way I can make people like you guys proud of what I do as well, you know, I'd love to do that. I'd love to make memories along the way.
Are you, you're currently without a club, correct?
Yes, I took the year off for my son's birth.
That's right.
He's 7 months today, by the way.
30th. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, little gangster. I think I took the year off because COVID wasn't getting the best. I think I don't mention this enough because I don't like seeing my wife sad. So I think the first few casualties of COVID was her father.
Oh my God. Really?
Because we don't know how he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He was a healthy man who just passed away. And then when we went into the scheme of things, we got to know that he was working with people who might have had it or the first few carriers. And in India, it was just a lot of people dying all of a sudden. So I think, you know, that's what happened. And I genuinely thought, my family comes first. It's always been like that for me. And my firstborn, you know, it was a special experience. My little boy coming into the world, me being in the operation theater, just sweating myself in an AC room. I can't listen. I I hate hospitals. I hate blood.
Yeah.
I will pass out if I see blood. In a sport that's got physical contact and I got cuts, bruises everywhere, but I can't see it.
Yeah.
I think more than the pain, if I look at my hand and I see blood, I'm going to pass out. So I think it was only you know, the right thing to do to be there for me. 100%. And I think it was my best decision.
Yeah.
I got to reassess myself. I got to reassess what it is that I bring to the table, what it is that I want. And it also just made me hungrier, you know, to be honest. I'm in the best shape of my life right now as we speak, and I haven't played professional football in a year. Yes, I've been training since the last contract. It's not like I stopped training. I've kept training. I've kept working at it. I kept doing as much as I could, because India's a bit up and down, whereas there's a lockdown, then it opens up, and then you know, there's a second wave that came in, and then we got locked again. So you know, I figured ways around it, and obviously, yes, I might be the healthier one out of the lot, which is my wife, my son, and my mother-in-law. But it was just the right thing to do. Just make sure that you're ready for when the opportunity comes. I think it's slowly picking up speed or pace, if I may say. I hope people are noticing it, because I do have friends, agents, managers contacting me and saying, there's a team from, you know, Portugal that came in, but then again, flying restrictions, can't fly out. There was a team that I think just got promoted in the Hong Kong league, came in, but then again, restrictions.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I'm at it. You know, there are days when you don't wish to train and say, listen, man, I can't take any more no's. But I think that just pushes me more, saying maybe it's God's sign to say that you're not ready. Maybe it's God's way of saying there's something bigger coming, and keep pushing. And,
yeah.
You know, if again, we're manifesting things, you guys spoke about the CPL as well. So got to keep pushing even more, got to be in my best shape now.
Yeah, I think well, Mark and I obviously are both fathers, and I would say you wholeheartedly made the right decision. I'm gonna get cheesy. I admire the decision, because it's not an easy decision to make in the middle of a career when, you know, like, you're not gonna play for 60 years, and so like it's a brave decision. I think it's the right one for sure. I'm glad to hear there's teams still, like, you're still chatting, and that's a possibility. Like, we look forward to seeing you back wherever it is. But it's a brave decision to make. I know people have done it over here in different sports. And I think you did the right thing, not just COVID, but for your son. Like, I took time off with mine, and it made such a world of difference. So good on you for that.
It is. I think I completely second your thought. Like, I want to bring him in right now. You know, it's one of those. He's got his first tooth coming as well. I don't know if I would have been able to see it if I was not on. And he's never going to get his first tooth again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think for me, it's the little things. I've always been someone who's enjoyed playing football.
Yeah.
And making sure I enjoy playing football has also made me money.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, even with so many critiques, I'm sure, so even Yumi, and I hope Constantine also mentioned the same thing, that I get a lot of stick for being the person that I am. But it's always been me. I think I am this person because it doesn't stress me out. You know, my work doesn't stress me out. So if I've gone into a tackle and I'm smiling, it's because I don't mean to hit people, man. I'm sorry if my size hurts you. You know, I'm sorry if my tackles hurt you. You know, at the same time, if I've missed a goal as well, it's, yes, I'm sorry, but that does not define me.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I'm sorry I have a life outside of 8 hours of training. I'm sorry that I love listening to music, but
I
can't keep everyone happy, man. So I got to make sure that I'm happy. Right. And same way with my son being born. Yes, I know I have to restart again, but I tore my ACL and I restarted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if this time I'm fit,
yeah,
I'm sure I can restart better. Yes, does that mean will I play in the ISL? Maybe, maybe not. But can I work hard enough to play in the ISL? Absolutely. That's what I control.
Yeah.
If I have to start from zero, I will. I'm 30. There's Latan playing to 39. There's Benzema 30, 35 who's in the France national team.
Yep.
You know, there's so many boys. I think 30 is the new 80.
Yeah. That's brilliant. So I got one more, Mark, I want to ask, like, just to go back. You did your five-a-side, which I think I'm like making a formation for it myself. What was the best match you played in? Was it maybe the first, I don't know, the first Indian game, or like what's one that you have like a, just your top match you'd put?
There are a few at different junctures of my life, to be honest. Roberto Carlos is in there. Scoring at the World Cup qualifiers is in there.
Yeah.
Playing East Bengal Mohun Bagan, it's the biggest derby.
Yeah.
I think it's before or after the Celtic Rangers derby, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
So yes, East Bengal, I've had the pleasure of scoring, I think, 6 out of 7 to 8 times I've played.
Wow.
In front of 90,000. So that's it's this picture doesn't sum it up if I can show you, but
yeah.
I hope I can. It's unbelievable. I tried downloading the biggest picture I can. My phone's not even supporting it. This is a quarter of 90,000.
Jeez. Just falling out of the stands almost.
So I've been a part of a few of these, and it's a memory for a lifetime.
You know, you said how loud it is. When you score in particular in that moment, is it quite literally an out-of-body experience?
I wish I could show you my goosebumps. I wish I could. It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, when you have two sets of supporters, so it's a lakh or 100,000 stadium.
Yeah.
And you only have three rows from left to right supporting you, and one side's green and red, one side yellow and red. So that's East Bengal and Mohun Bagan.
Yeah.
Whichever side you're going and attacking for, if it's you attacking towards the Mohun Bagan side, there are people screaming at you, and that just pushes you a lot more to just get that, you know, that bit higher. It's an amazing feeling where and then there's obviously national team where I think the goalkeeper kicked it long. The ball came to Sunil, if I'm not mistaken. Got a defender on my right shoulder.
Yeah.
Got a Cruyff turn and smashed it with my right top corner. Stephen Constantine was the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was there. And then Roberto Carlos for sure. I just got back from national duty. We were stuck at the airport because of some, I think there was a sandstorm, if I'm not mistaken. I landed into my first ISL game. Roberto Carlos said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I'm okay, coach." Then he said, "Okay, you start today." Just like, "Are you sure?"
Yeah.
Just got off the plane.
Yeah.
He's like, no, my friend, you start today. You score a goal, I take you out. Wow. I said, "What is this guy thinking? I don't think I've slept for the past 48 hours. Why is he doing this to himself and me?"
Yeah.
I scored.
Nice.
I scored, and then he's like, "Do you want to come off?" I said, "No."
Yeah, no, now, yeah.
No, and now I just want to play, and it's all gone. It's like, just you know, when you, it's literally out the window when you're just thinking to yourself, and you were like,
"Yeah,
Roberto Carlos asked me to score, and I provided."
That's amazing, man.
It's just one of those things when you've got like 80,000 to 90,000 people behind you screaming, and it's the same effect that Roberto Carlos had on me, saying, "You score, you enjoy, you come back."
That's
all I did. So those are the three games that will always be close to my heart, for sure.
That's amazing. Mark, I know you just had technical difficulties, and we're the most like technically proficient podcast out there, aren't we? Well, I thought maybe you could set up our little quiz we had here for him.
Yeah, we have a little game. But first I want to ask just one more quick thing.
Okay.
You live a healthy lifestyle, you said, but you said you have a cheat day. What's your cheat food? What food do you go in on a cheat day?
I have a massive, massive sweet tooth. So I would say, give me waffles.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Give me some waffles. Give me some Nutella with a great mug of coffee. And if you got Johnny Rockets milkshakes coming on, I don't mind them.
All right. So here's the game. We're just going to ask you eight questions, eight mm-hmm. quick questions, and you can only answer two ways. And the game is called Sing or Hume. And the first right. one we're going to ask is, who is faster, Sing or Hume?
Define the length first. Go on.
From one net to the other net.
Oh.
Sing.
Wow.
He's got little legs.
That's amazing.
You wouldn't deny that.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's go. Let's go to another one. You've got five shots from the top of the 18. Who hits mm-hmm. the crossbar more, Sing or Hume?
Hume.
Who can who can bench press more, Sing or Hume?
Sing. Listen.
Oh, he, poor Humey. Okay. Who, okay, here's a good one. Who wins at Monopoly?
Humey. Oh. Don't have patience for it. Humey. Humey.
Who's better at Call of Duty?
Me.
There you go. Yeah, that was an obvious one, eh, Mark? Yeah. Who takes longer to get ready to go out to a bar?
Sing.
Yeah, I was thinking yeah. that too.
No, just because of my hand. It's got that bit of advantage.
If you had to take one penalty, you and Hume are on the same team. Who takes yeah. the penalty in the final?
Hume.
Ooh.
Strikers Union.
Strikers Hume. Union. That's brilliant. Okay, who... If one of you has to go in net to save a penalty, who goes in net?
I'll go. Sing.
Ooh, Sing for that one.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, that's the humor Sing eight questions. we appreciate you coming on. I want to just like, we've said this before, but you never know when we have a guest on the show what mm-hmm. they're going to be like and what we're going to take out of it. And mm-hmm. I can genuinely say that mm-hmm. you've given me a whole new reason to follow someone's career and for someone to tell my kids to follow and learn from, because you've shown, I mean, just your character alone of choosing family first, of yeah. your wanting and ability to fight for your teammates. It's not an individual sport. Nothing's individual in this world. And I really think that's lessons that everybody listening and I'm going to bring to my son from you, and we appreciate that so much. And I'm really, really hoping we can get you to Canada, not only to play here, but uh-huh. with the way you are, you can maybe inspire the next generation of Canadians as well as Indian kids, because uh-huh. I can tell by the person you are, it's an absolute treat to get to know you and have you on the show. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll just say real quick, just like I can't add too much to what Mark said, but I appreciate how genuine you are. That's what's come across to me. I like that there's no false airs, there's no, you know, whatever. It's very nice to speak to someone like that. And this was a wonderful interview for me.
Thank you, guys. I think we met coincidentally, me asking Yumi questions. But I think for me, it's if I can tell you more about myself, then my job is done. You know, there are loads of rumors, conversations, articles that are not me. And I usually don't correct them because I didn't make them.
Yeah.
And I only wish to give time to people that believe in me, are interested to know the real me. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, if out of all of that, they can even take one thing out of me or one thing that they believe is genuine through me, and that I think my work is done. And at the end of the day, I am who I am. I've not changed ever, I would say. Yes, I've become a much more mature person, but mm-hmm. I'm still the same guy who loves kicking a ball around, and there's a neighborhood aunt running behind me telling me to stop it. I'm still that guy. You know, I love doing what I do, and in the middle of all of that, if I can make friends and you know, family over the large period of my life, that's my work's done, and hopefully we can do this face to face. I'm not happy being a virtual person. I love meeting the person that I speak to. I love showing them, you know, emotion. And one day I will be in Canada, be it with the CPL or not, but I will say that I will be in the CPL because that's what I want.
That's awesome.
All right. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again. And we're going to send our prayers and thoughts to India and, you know, all the people, and hopefully, you know, this whole thing turns around in the world. So thank you again.